Well, wonderful to see you. Hasn't the last couple of weeks been great, actually? Thank you, Oliver. We've had Ben Rook with us last week. We had Hannah with us the week before, and I just thought they were great. So it's either up or down from here. But listen, I just want to encourage you. You know, I was really, really encouraged by what they brought. Because it was part of their personal story, wasn't it? It was part of a personal testimony. And Hannah brought to us a couple of things that really stood out to me. One was how pushing into God for Hannah helped her find her voice. Do you remember that? And to see Hannah at the front of church speaking was an absolute blessing. And I know she's done it a couple of times now, but just to see that personal journey that God's got her on. And also Ben last week shared about the significance of knowing that we're loved and accepted by God and the importance of being secure in that in order to share Jesus with others. And what I want to do this week is kind of link together those two and this week as a kind of three-part series where we've been looking at overcoming fears, where we've been looking at kind of the love of God and how that empowers us to go out this week and to share our faith with others. So we're called to share Jesus and sow seed. So this week we're going to look in a moment at the story of the sower. But I want us to particularly focus on four things. Things that are really significant in people's lives. Things that we know about because Vic has banged on about them for years and years. And you know what? I have found them to be so true when you're talking to people about Jesus and sharing our gospel, the good news of Jesus. And that's work, health, family, and circumstances. And how we're called to be sowers in the kingdom. So I want to just read to you, if you've got a Bible, great. If not, I want to read to you from Matthew 13. This is the story of the sower told by Jesus. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell amongst thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear." Then there's a bit of a dialogue in between, and we're just going to skip forward to verse 18. So Jesus is saying, this is what the parable means. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed that falls on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So I want to, this morning, just pull out a couple of points. But before I do, I just want to show you something. This was one of my Father's Day presents this morning. Miracle Hair Grow Soap. Okay, just, that's what my family is. Miracle Hair Grow. Millie said, I think Daniel said, if that really works, Dad, it'd cost £1 million. Listen, if I come back next week, we'll see. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about this story. I want to pull out just three quick sort of points from the story itself, and then tell you just a couple of stories about encountering people and seeing God move. So point number one is, it was Jesus telling the story. Now, whenever Jesus says anything, we need to listen, don't we? And Jesus is telling his disciples about a strategy for sharing the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom with people. And it's about sowing seed. And we're going to talk a little bit today about what that really is. And that link between Jesus talking about it 2,000 years ago and us doing it in our neighborhoods, our workplaces, on the streets of Walsall. It's always wise to listen when Jesus speaks. Number two. Seed was sown everywhere he went. You know, as the sower walked, he would have a bag at his side or some sort of container, and he would just scatter seed randomly. These days, if you've ever been in a field in the countryside in spring as the crops are coming up, honestly, it's like a sort of military operation has gone on. Okay, there is something called a seed drill these days. It's towed behind a tractor, and they literally drill into the ground, and it's like poof, all the crops are just randomly, exactly where they are. They're not randomly spaced. In this time, in Jesus's time, the sower would go out and just literally scatter it everywhere in his field. And what Jesus is saying is that we just need to sow. We need to sow lots and lots of seed. Because you know what? It would have gone all over the place. You know, when he threw it out, it wouldn't have kind of, it's not some sort of throwing competition. He's doing it carefully. He's not. He's just randomly scattering it. Some's bouncing across the soil and landing in the thorns. Some's landing on rocky areas. But some goes into good soil. You're sowers of the good news. So sow. And the last point that I just want to draw out from the story is that the farmer didn't expect all his seed to grow. He knew from experience that the birds would take some, the thorns would choke some, some would land on the rocky areas and just dry up. But he also knew that some would land in good soil and that there would be a harvest. But what is the kind of modern day context for this story? How can we relate that story Jesus told sitting in that boat on that lakeside 2,000 years ago to our lives today? What does it mean for you and me to be a sower of the seed? And what is sowing the seed anyway? Well, sowing the seed is anything that brings God's kingdom into people's lives and takes them a little bit further on that journey to know him and to be in a relationship with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's three areas that I just want to pick out this morning. praying, caring, and sharing. And I just want to show you how they're linked when it comes to sowing seed. Sowing seed is praying for people. Praying for people both one-to-one. So when I encounter Hayley on the streets, shopping, she's so good at that. She really is. Oliver's nodding. So I pray for her after being in a conversation with her about the one-to-one prayer. But it's also the intercessory prayer, that prayer for people, committing to pray for people. It's really funny. Hayley's already mentioned it this morning. Who are we going to commit to praying for? Sowing seed is about praying. And as we commit to pray for people, something happens in our hearts. Do you know J. John, the evangelist? Lots of you do. J. John is committed to seeing people come to know Jesus. He's an evangelist. It's what he does. It kind of gets him in here. But I heard something this week about J. John. J. John is committed to praying for 32 people who don't yet know Jesus. Every day, twice a day, 2 hours a day. You know what? That just blew me away. This great evangelist, he ain't out on the streets for 2 hours. He's praying for 32 people with his wife every day, morning and night, morning and night. Because when we pray, God moves. Amen? You know, when we pray, God moves. You know, that really touched me. It also really challenged me. I'm thinking, flipping heck, I need to catch up. You know, I've got a little list, actually, of people I do pray for. 32? 2 hours a day, you know? But if you haven't got that time, like many of us don't, the challenge is actually, who could we commit to the Lord every day to see them come in to the kingdom? Let's commit to do that. Just like Hayley earlier just said, just think about someone while we're worshiping. Just bring to mind now one person who you would love to see come into the kingdom. So sowing seed is about praying. We're going to talk a little bit more later about praying for people individually. It's about praying, but it's also about caring. You know, as we pray for people, something strange starts to happen in here. You know, I've become a bit of a, pardon the phrase, a bit of a wuss, really, over the last however many years. I now cry more than I've ever cried, okay? Growing up, I didn't really cry. It wasn't really the kind of thing you did as a lad growing up. But actually, God softened my heart. So I just went to pray for Daniel over here earlier, and I found myself crying. Because, you know what? As we pray for people, suddenly God's heart is revealed through us for them. God loves them. And that Father's heart just comes out. As we pray, we care for people. And that Father's heart comes out. You know, it was like Jesus when he looked at the crowd and he said, they're lost. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And his heart went out to them. You know, as you commit to pray for people, your heart will go out to people. And because we care for them. That need to care will overtake our need to be liked and accepted. You know, as we pray and as we care, we also are called to a place of sharing with others. God gives us this compassion. Just like Jesus had compassion that led him to the cross, Jesus gives us compassion that leads us to the lost, to go out. We have been given so much grace and love and mercy. We need to share that with others. We need to share our story and the role Jesus played in it. And you know what? You'll be amazed at how people respond to you. When was the last time you shared your story? I want you to imagine a conversation for a moment and see if you can hear where these lines might fit. A conversation where you can speak into someone's life this. You know, before I explored faith, this is my conversation with someone. Before I explored faith, I felt like I was empty inside. And nothing I tried took away that ache. Then a friend invited me on an Alpha course. And I learned other people felt like that too. Now I'm a Christian. I've found it's only God that can fill that hole. Can I tell you the number of people out there with a deep, painful ache inside them? Acknowledge it. Tell them how it was for you. Imagine this conversation, being able to say to someone, growing up, I'd done lots of things in my life that made me really not like myself very much. Then a friend invited me to church, and I learned that I was accepted by a Heavenly Father. You know, there are so many people out there who don't like themselves, who have done stuff that they're ashamed about. Or how about, as a child, I'd been really hurt by someone in my family and felt that I'd never be able to face them or move on. But my faith has really helped bring forgiveness where there was none. So many people are bound up with unforgiveness and bitterness and are longing to be set free. You know what? Everyone out there is on a journey towards Jesus. They just don't know it. And I want to just share with you an illustration this morning. It's been said this morning that when we pray, God moves. And that is so true. And on our journey to becoming a Christian, there is this kind of scale. And I want to just demonstrate it this morning using the kind of lectern as the point here, where on our spiritual journey from being nowhere near God over here to being at the point where we accept Jesus and step into the kingdom, there is a whole kind of scale. 100 is here, okay? 90 is about here. I'm getting a little bit warmer, but still way off knowing God. 80, 7, and so on, until you get to 10. And you just need a little bit of to step into the kingdom of God. Some people are at 100, some people are at 10. Some people are almost there, and some people are way off. But I tell you this, is there anyone in this room who could look into someone's eyes and know whether they're 100 or 10? I'm not sure there is. I can't do that. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know what, if I'd been God, when I created man, I might have created man with some sort of badge which said, I'm 100, which kind of changed, kind of a digital thing, kind of as the journey went on, it became 50. And then, wouldn't that be easy? You could look for the tens and you could go, great, I'm going to bring you in. Or some sort of light system on the back of their head, which kind of changed from red, 100, all the way through to green. But unfortunately, God didn't think that was a good design. Instead, guess what he's done? He's given us a voice, and we have to talk to him. We have to talk to people to gauge where they're at on their journey. It's a bit like choosing peaches in the supermarket, all right? When I go to the supermarket and I choose peaches, I don't know whether I'm supposed to do this. I kind of pick them up and give them a bit of a squeeze. Anyone else do that? Yeah? Okay. And I can't tell just by looking at a peach whether it's ripe or not. Some people, sometimes you think, well, it's because they're darker skinned. They're like, that doesn't always work. All right? So you pick some up and you give them a bit of a squeeze and they're hard. They're 100. You give them a bit of a squeeze and you put them back. There's some that you pick up and you squeeze them and they're a bit softer. They're more like a 50. So you give them a bit more of a squeeze. And then there's those that are a 10. You pick them up and your fingers go right in and you... No. You pick them up and you go, yes, that fruit is ripe for the picking. But you don't know unless you pick them up and give them a squeeze. And it's a bit like that in the kingdom when it comes to knowing where people are at on their journey. We don't know until we give them a squeeze. I'm not suggesting you go out there and you squeeze everyone just to kind of see where they're at. But actually, you open your mouth and you talk to them and you can tell from the conversation often where people are at on their journey of faith. Squeeze the fruit. See what happens. But I want to tell you some things about sowing seed. Sowing seed is anything that brings God's kingdom into people's lives and takes them a little bit further on that journey towards coming in to a relationship with him. But listen, guys, sowing seed takes time, effort, and energy. Sowing seed is about intentional chatting to people. Friends, work colleagues, neighbours, and yes, even a stranger at the bus stop. You know, I've been reading recently a number of BBC news articles about the benefits of chatting to strangers. Has anyone else seen these on the BBC website? Yeah, a number of people. They're now saying there's, you know, they're kind of catching up from Jesus, really. They're only 2,000 years late. They're now talking about the fact that talking to strangers has health benefits. Okay? And, you know, you have to be careful. But actually, it really does. Because suddenly, People are looking around society saying, you know what, this ain't a bad place. You know, I walked across the road the other day to post my Father's Day card, and I have to cross two roads twice to get back to my house, to get to the post box. And you know what? On all the occasions that I cross the road, the main Barbican Road and a side road, cars stopped to let me pass. Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought, flipping heck. This neighbourhood's all right, you know. But you know what? Inside us, we have this image of things that create good society and things that create negative society. We did have a carjacking down the road last year. But listen, we won't talk about that. But actually, suddenly, something inside me went, oh, you know what? It's not so bad out there. People are kind and generous. But sowing seed takes time, effort, and energy. And we have to do it intentionally. When the opportunity arises, we need to share the love and good news of Jesus in a normal way. Can I just bust a few myths? Talking to people about Jesus doesn't have to be freaky or weird. All right? I just want to shake that off us, because we can sometimes think that. It's about partnering with the Holy Spirit, who isn't weird or freaky, actually, who knows people intimately. It's not about us. It's not for our glory. He just asks us to sow seed, to be different from a world which takes, takes, takes. We give, we bless, we think of others first. But that takes time, energy, effort, and there's a cost to it. I want to tell you about a seed sowing opportunity that I had the other week, and the cost to me of having it. So it was, I think, a Friday evening. The sun, Hayley, was shining. It's about 2 weeks ago. Do you remember the sun? Do you remember the sun? Well, where's the sun? Okay, it's June. Okay, so I'm sat on my front doorstep on a cushion reading a book. It's 6 o'clock in the evening. The sun is shining. My family are out. I've got 2 hours, praise the Lord, to myself. So I'm thinking, great, I'm going to read a book. I'm going to take just a bit of chill time, really. So I'm sat there. When I see this man appear, he walks up our grove. We've got a grove, 6 houses in it. He goes to number one, comes down the drive. I'm thinking, flipping heck. It's a salesperson. You know, you can spot them. When you're as old as me and Nick Dean, you kind of, happy birthday, Nick. You spot them. You've been around long enough to know what they look like. And I'm thinking in my selfish self-state, oh, flipping it, Lord. No, I've got 2 hours. I just want to read my book, okay? He goes to number two and number three and number four. No one's answering their doors, okay? And then he comes round my car and sees me sat there. And so I'm like, okay, Lord. He's looking at me and my face is like, do I look interested? I'm reading my book. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me. You know what? He changed in that moment. He kind of went out of sort of computer robotic delivery of my sales pitch voice into, he said, would you mind if I sat down? I'm thinking, flipping heck. Can't just stand up and talk to me for 5 minutes. He said, do you mind if I sit down? I said, of course you can. Then the Holy Spirit said, offer to make him a cup of tea. So I didn't. And I did. I said, look, I bet you've been on your feet all day, haven't you? Would you like a cup of tea? And he physically kind of went, oh, yeah, I'd love one. So I sat with him for an hour and a half, not talking about Winders, but talking about him and his family with this really interesting mix of Muslim, on his grandfather's side and Catholic Portuguese on his grandmother's side. And you know what? He was totally confused. He started to tell me that the Quran was written at the same time as the Bible. And I was just able to love him and put him right. But just talk to him, actually, about some stuff. And then the Holy Spirit just said to me, just ask him about his family. So I said, you got family, you got kids? And all this stuff suddenly comes out about how he had a son who he doesn't see anymore. New partner, two kids with her, living in Sutton, but a son down in London, and now it breaks his heart. An hour and a half later, his phone suddenly rings, and it's his boss. And I can hear the conversation. His boss is like, where the flip are you? Okay, it wasn't flip. Where are you? Okay, I've been trying to ring you for the last hour and a half. Well, his phone was on in his pocket because it rang really loud. All right? For an hour and a half, his boss had been trying to ring him. It was 6 o'clock when he came to me. It was 7:30, and his phone rang. For an hour and a half, this phone call hadn't happened because we'd been talking, I believe. And I just said to him at the end, I said, look, can I just pray for you? I told him by this time lots of things. Told him about my men's small group that I run at my house and how it's just great. And I just said, can I just pray for your family for you? Just to, God would bless you and restore you with your son. Took his number down, prayed for him. His boss rocks up in the car outside. You know what? He was open. He was so open to just receive from the Lord. Family, work, health, and other circumstances. People will talk if you open the door. You know, sometimes sowing seed can feel demoralizing. Who's been a Christian here a long time? Yeah? All right? You think about the seed that you've sown over the years. Only for the birds to swoop down and take it away. Or it'd be choked by the weeds. You know, we can feel we're putting in so much effort. This guy, I took his number, took my number. He was really interested in coming to my small group. Texted him a few times. We had a few texts backwards and forwards. Did he come to my small group? No. Will he come? Don't know. Was it worth the hour and a half? Absolutely. Because I don't know where he was till I gave him a little squeeze. All right? But it can be hard work. But I want to tell you something. If you, like me, feel like it's been hard, sowing seed is hard, I want to encourage you that the tide is turning. Because God is on the move. And when we pray, and when we care, and when we share, God moves. You know, there is a tide in our nation of negativity. There is a tide fed by the media of fear and worry and disappointment in life. Suicide is the biggest killer of men under 40, and mental health issues amongst people is rife. But it's a spiritual battle, and it's a strategy of the enemy to bring despair. Our battle, as Jesus says, is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and forces of this age. But I want to just remind you, church, of who you are, okay? You are the loved ones, as Ben told us last week. And they are the loved ones too. Your taxi driver who's a Muslim, that homeless guy, the teacher in your kid's school, the gossip down your street. God loves them. The only difference is they don't know it yet. And because we are loved, we act differently. Because we are loved, we will stop and we will talk to that old lady at the bus stop who might not talk to anyone else that day. You know, there are people who ride buses just to get out the house. There are people who come into Walsall, I've met them, just to be around people rather than be at home on their own. Because we know we are loved, we talk differently about the problems we face. While we acknowledge that they're there, that they're real, we share with others that we have a God who loves, who cares. And gradually the tide begins to turn. Because we're loved, we are the ones who will pay for someone's coffee. They're shopping their petrol in order to make their day better for having met us. So that they think that maybe, just maybe, the world isn't such a terrible place. And the tide begins to turn. Because we're loved, we pay for people's parking. Heidi did that recently in town. Polish lady. She was in town at the wharf at one of these pay machines. She got a little child with her, about 3 years old. She's paying by card. And every time the woman went to kind of finalize the payment thing, a child banged the thing and cancelled it. She's got a growing queue of people behind her. Heidi's in the queue. Her heart goes out to her, goes to give her some money so she can pay. Not because she wants to get there quicker, but because she just felt compassion for her. Her heart went out. Because that's what we do, and the tide begins to turn. Because we're loved, we give out chocolate on the street. We run fun days. We wave on traffic islands. We feed the homeless. We welcome the refugees. We help clubbers and pubbers at night in the middle of Walsall. We help alleviate debt. We take hot chocolate to the street girls. We support families going through tragedy and loss. We help abused women move out of the refuge so they can begin to rebuild their lives. We take Bibles into the darkest places in Kenya. And it begins to turn the tide. You know, because of our culture, we live in a results-driven culture. Sometimes we look at the end result rather than the process. We look at what happens in people's lives in terms of them crossing the line rather than them moving down the journey. And over the years, we've put so much time and effort and energy into things that have appeared to show little fruit. The turning. Who was involved in the turning? Just wave at me. The turning was a street outreach thing that we did about 18 months in Walsall. And for lots of us, we had unspoken success criteria around people coming into the kingdom, people coming into church. And when that didn't happen, the church bit, it can feel like it wasn't worth it. But I want to just remind you of some amazing things that did happen. We prayed for almost 4,000 people hundreds of whom made first-time commitments. We saw miracles of healing. We saw churches across Walsall coming together. And we saw Christians like Hannah described, push through their fears and their anxieties and find their voice. You know, church, there is an awakening. There is an awakening that is coming. When we pray, God moves. When we care, God moves. And when we step out in faith, God moves. And my question is, for me and for you, are you going to go? Because guess what? There is loads of ripe fruit. And as J. John says, the fruit's there. If we don't pick it, Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons will. That's what he says. Are we going to pick the fruit, church? Are we going to pick the fruit? And just as we close, I just want to encourage us this week to step out of our comfort zones and to do something different. And I've got two things that I want to just give out this morning. One is one of these. This is a prayer journal. Thy Kingdom Come is a national, international prayer thing kind of leading up to Pentecost Sunday. These little booklets we have, and there are ways in here that we can pray for people. Okay? So I want to give you one of those. And I want to give you a lolly stick. Now, I'm really sorry, I've actually eaten the lollies off them. But on each of these lolly sticks, there is a challenge. And I just want to read out a couple of them. So this challenge says, pray for a work colleague. This challenge says, give someone a chocolate bar. Okay? And I want us this week to do one thing that blesses someone who isn't yet a Christian. That's the key. Okay? So when it says, talk to a colleague, if they're a Christian, ignore them. Pretend they're not there. Talk to someone who's not a Christian. Give them a squeeze. Find out where they are, okay? And I'm going to leave these at the front. And I'd like you to, you can leave my miracle hair grow soap, and you can take a leaflet, and you can take a stick. But let's stand together as we just close our time. And I just want to pray. So let's just be open to the Holy Spirit. Your cup of tea will still be there, don't worry. And let's just pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that, just as Jesus said, the fields are ripe unto harvest because people have sown seed. And we want to thank you for all of those people who have gone before us sowing seed. And Lord, we just want to pray that this week you will give us opportunities to sow seed, to bring people a little step closer to your kingdom. Lord, and I pray for opportunities for each of us. Lord, I pray we will find our voices. I pray that we will function out of a place of knowing that we are loved. And I just pray now, Lord, that you will give us boldness to step out. And we will see you move as we pray, as we care, and as we share, particularly around the areas of work, health, family, and circumstances. So, Lord, to you be the glory, and may your kingdom come in Walsall as it is in heaven. Amen.